Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number to give us a call here. If you want to get in and talk about this, let's go. Let's go. Need you to get in here and hang out with us here on the show.
Did you two participate? I'm going to pretend like I'm a caller because I got motivated by you asking us to call in. Did you participate in the... Watching Yonder Diaz call that no-hitter makes me so angry at Dusty. You know how many tweets I saw last night about everyone furious about thinking back to Yonder not getting at bats and calling games? I'm angry. Relax, everybody. We get it. You're performative. Relax. You're not that angry.
Listen. Thank you, Dusty. Just thank Dusty for your service, service.
And move about your day. Thank you. If Yiner wouldn't be in a position to call that no-hitter in the way he did if Dusty didn't train him last year.
Yeah, but there's also probably not two walks if Machete calls the game.
A perfect game is what probably we're talking about. Game. If Machete was behind the plate.
Uh-huh. Let's just be honest about that.
Listen,
if Machete calls that game, it's a perfect game.
I don't care. I don't care what he... Last year, it's over. Let's move on. Dusty got himself a World Series here, okay? It was great.
No, we must be furious at him. No, we remain furious for his decisions from last year.
I got to be furious with Joe Espada for putting in Jonathan Singleton, okay? My anger has got to be directed at the current guy. Otherwise, I can't be completely satisfied with what's going on, okay? It's ridiculous. Let Dusty go.
Do the Astros have a major league first baseman on the roster?
Seriously, the Dusty.
Did you see diving play that saved the no hitter?
I did see that.
But Dusty stuff probably
kind of laid there a little long. I thought, get up.
Hey, get up!
The
already.
Dusty stuff probably does need to stop though. I ask a question because it was a legitimate question about how would Dusty have let him stretch out and get into the ninth, and you know, I was just curious how this would, but. Dusty had great success for the Astros. Dusty's gone. It's Espada's now. Espada's 1-4. He's got to shape up, but it's not. I mean, it was a series. The bullpen, they had leads in three of the four games against the Yankees, and the bullpen did not step up and do their job. Probably should have gone 2-2 in that series. They didn't, and so we're here now with a no-hitter, and that's the story. So if you guys are watching a no-hitter, watch the Astros. Let us know your thoughts on that or whatever you want to get in here. I still have some concerns about whether or not about Verlander's age. I mean, there's some basic baseball concerns I have. And you always wait for, you know, we waited a long time for the San Antonio Spurs to fall off, for the New England Patriots to fall off. And just when you thought they were going to, they didn't, because they had certain players, older players who continued to extend the run. And, you know, Jordan, Bregman, Tucker, and obviously Altuve, they're still on this team. And now you've added Yiner Diaz as a full-time player, and he's off to a phenomenal start. If Jeremy Pena starts to hit the way that we know he can hit from the year before, that's not crazy that somebody has a sophomore slump. This is actually stuff that happens in sports if you follow it, especially in baseball. And I think he got into his own head with his swing and his swing plane. They talked about it last year. This year, he hit his first home run yesterday since July 5th. I mean, that's a big deal. First home run to me.
Yeah.
That almost felt like this. Renell Blanco's the story of the game. And Yiner Diaz, two home runs. And Kyle Tucker, two home runs. But Jeremy Pena hitting a home run and hitting the ball well this year, All I know is that I expect the other stuff to happen. Jeremy Pena's the real wild.
So I had heard behind the scenes that about midway through last, or when he was in his slump after his July home run and didn't hit another one for a month, that they wanted to work with him with his swing and adjust his swing in season. And he was like, no, I can't do it right now. I can't. I got to do it in the offseason. And apparently he did, and he worked with the guys. I was just joking that it's all Reggie Jackson. It was the hitting coach, and they did a really Cintron, and they did a really nice job with him. But he didn't want to change in midseason or in September. He did not want to make major adjustments. Now maybe he's made those adjustments, and he's putting the ball – he's hitting the ball with a little bit of lift that he wasn't getting at all last year. Here he is. He's got to be – did you see afterwards, and he looked up at the heavens and said, thank you, finally.
Yeah.
Thank you for that home run. Here he is talking about his first home run in forever.
You know, I've just been trying to keep putting together good at-bats. You know, we put a lot of work in this offseason, a lot of work in the spring training. You know, I'm just glad we got that one out the way.
Just glad. I mean, it's got to be a relief. He knew where he was as far as that goes. He knew he wasn't hitting with the pop that he needed to hit with. And he's better than what he had been. But yeah, you're right. There's a sophomore slump. He's got to stay away. If he can lay off that slider away, holy crap, he's going to have a big year.
Mm-hmm. Take the slider away and spoil it to right field.
Right, go with
base
it.
Base knocks.
Right. But now, I mean, there's a time that you're thinking, they never have to throw him a strike. If he keeps on swinging at that crap that he's swinging at, why throw him a strike ever?
Uh-huh.
And I think the dude found out last night, don't throw him a strike. Andy wants to get in here and talk about his Houston Astros. Hey, Andy.
Hey, yeah, I think that's huge what you're talking about, Pena. I was worried about him, you know, they were tinkering with his swing, but looks like he's on point, and that could be huge all year long. But let me ask you guys, you guys have any issue with Espada allowing Blanco to throw 105 and then taking out Javier and Brown at 90 and not letting them extend as well?
Well, he had a no-hitter.
He had a no-hitter. That's different. Yeah, Andy, that's...
And granted, it's not like they had given up a bunch of hits, but that was...
What inning was Javier in with 95th?
Yeah.
I mean, he was still at 80 through 7.
Yeah.
So he was so efficient.
I mean, it's a historical opportunity.
Yeah.
With Christian Javier, and let's also face it, too. The Astros, they're counting much more on Christian Javier at the end of the year, potentially, than Ronel Blanco, at least as a starter. So, it's a no-hitter. It's a historical no-hitter, and his pitch count was really good. That's never been something we've said with Christian Javier. What a great pitch count for Javier. That almost doesn't exist. He couldn't even get to a no-hitter in the World Series because his pitch count got too high. He had to get help with the no-hitter there that he was part of.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the big difference. I don't have a problem with it.
Jackie says, I'll be pissed at Dusty as long as I want. Sorry. He was horrible last year, and those decisions probably cost the team
a
World Series appearance. AJ still catches it for his decisions. Dusty didn't catch – not winning at home made – and it.
what are we talking about?
They were one win away from the World Series.
They could not win a home game
against
the Rangers.
And they got their ass kicked in the last game.
They were the second seed.
Christian Javier couldn't get out of his own way in the last game. Like, look, I didn't think Dusty had his best year last year, but with that said, you're right. They couldn't win at home at all. Yeah. They couldn't get you couldn't get hits. Dusty had nothing to do with Kyle Tucker. Nothing. When your best offensive talent through the whole year, you know, that was your guy who's the highest MVP votes, can't get a hit. You dread seeing Kyle Tucker come up to the plate at home late in the game. That's where we were like, oh, Tucker.
Yeah. I mean, honestly. And now, would they have won more games during the regular season? What's the difference? They won the division and they were the second seed. How did that
They had home field advantage.
And they had home field advantage in the it would have been any different whatsoever.
Get off Dusty's jock.
Yeah.
No,
they're not on his jock. He's on his ass.
Yeah. Come on, Jackie.
Jackie.
Look at what Dell's doing.
No, see?
Dell's going to the...
Oh, it's racism.
No.
He is white. He's whiter
than
white.
But Jackie's just Astros Twitter. He's not really, that's not a nice thing to say. Jackie is our friend.
Is he?
We know him.
We're aware of him, sure.
Sure.
Have you hung out with Jackie?
Yes. Yes.
He's Bolivar Jackie, so whatever.
Time. You're not like Raheel Jackie type friends. They hang out.
I've had drinks with Jackie and his wife before.
Yeah, I don't want to go down. I have to go down there and see him. And
oh, that's what friends do, John.
Bolivin or
no,
whatever.
No, but he has been pretty consistent with his disappointment in some of the dusty moves.
No, it was frustrating.
It was the Yiner stuff was a big
frustrating
deal.
Last year.
Yeah, but it's Yiner's in. We're here. Here we are. Yiner's here, so we're good.
Yeah, well, we should thank Dusty for his service. And you too, Jackie.
Yeah, Yiner wouldn't be the player he is today if not for Dusty holding him back.
Who knows?
What did Dean Smith do to Michael Jordan? And look what Michael Jordan
helped
became.
Helped him be a better person.
Greatest ever.
Yeah, Dean Smith was we know the old adage. The only one who could hold Jordan down was Dean Smith.
The only one who could hold Yiner down.
And Dusty. Then what did Jordan become?
And look at Yiner.
Yeah,
thank you. He's the Michael Jordan of baseball.
Thank Dusty. Thank Dean Smith for creating GOATs.
John heard behind the scenes as the boys talking in the D.C. That's not, no. That's actually, I heard it from someone in the organization.
D.C. Okay.
The D.C. Prop bet. Caitlin Clark total tournament points versus Alex Bregman batting average at the end of April. C.C. is at 129, Bregman 158.
She's got two more games.
Oh, wait a minute now. This just got to be an interesting prop.
What number? How many does she have?
129 in the tournament.
Well,
there's no way. We're assuming Alex Bregman. Who said that? Tony.
129.
Tony.
So yeah, 70. Course. She needs to score 71 to get to 200. You think she can score 71 if she makes a final?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But making a final, but she's got to beat UConn.
They beat LSU.
Wait a minute. Alex Bregman's batting average could go down.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to.
Yeah, but one base hit brings him way up more than one non-hit.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, so he goes.
It's a small sample size.
So she gets to.
But it's at the end of April.
This is not a real thing.
If she scores 37 in both games, that's 74 plus 129. So she'll be over 200. Is Alex Bregman going to hit over 200 in April?
He could.
A two-hit
game puts him way over.
I'm asking you, not if he could, will he?
Yeah.
That's a good question. He looks like crap at the plate, boy. Three strikeouts last night. He looked bad.
This is the year I heard that he was going to be really good.
He is going to be great. He's going to be a top five MVP guy.
That's what I heard.
Top five MVP guy. That's right. I said it.
The other thing about last night, beyond, as you said, Whitey getting a win, Tony got a win, too.
Tony's a big
Iowa guy.
He's a legitimate from Iowa person.
Yeah.
I'm a brand new Caitlin Clark fan. He's not an outkick Caitlin Clark fan. He's a I live in Iowa and had loose meat sandwiches.
That really
Iowa.
Needs to be a thing, an outkick. Well, how is outkick going to respond to Caitlin against Paige?
It doesn't matter. That's the way they're torn.
Who are they going to root for?
They're torn. They're like, doesn't matter. We win.
Oh, the sweaty
one.
When they win. When they see South Carolina on the other side.
Van Lith and Angel beat it.
They didn't like Van Lith?
No, Van Lith is the one that said it was racism.
I know.
The LA article was racism.
She spoke out.
I think it's a real shame that I get that last year it deserves some, I didn't love the way Angel handed it after the game and all that stuff. We already did all that stuff. The fact that you have the black hat, white hat mentality, the fact that you have the villain, and she said, I'll embrace the role of villain at LSU. Yeah. The fact that it had to be like that for women's basketball, this is phenomenal for women's basketball.
The fact
that there's this many eyes, I really can't wait to see what the TV numbers were because, I watched. I was very excited to watch it, and it lived up to the hype.
Absolutely. And a night where there was really nothing going on other than Ranelle Blanco.
Other than a no-hitter.
Yeah, right.
Another one for the Astros.
Just another 17.
Another Astros no-hitter.
Time to talk about Chastain Ford. Just another day where they're saving you money. Just another day of 0% on the Bronco Sports. Just another day of 1.9% financing on 23 trucks. Just another day of up to $12,000 off. Just another day at Chastain Ford where they're not adding on or marking up. They just ain't doing it. It just doesn't happen. If there's a 23 on the lot, man, they're going to do whatever it takes to get it off. So, and they're brand new cars. They're brand new trucks. You need it right now. You need to take advantage of all the great people at Chastain Ford. And I hate to say take advantage of them, but it is what you do. Take advantage of their great attitude, their great philosophy of giving you the best deal you could possibly get with the best service you could possibly get in. And the Ford F-150 is the it's a preeminent vehicle. So you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car, truck, new or pre-owned vehicle. They got those on the lot as well. You need to get ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's only 5 minutes from downtown, and it's the place to get your best deal on that Ford, Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go! We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We never got to the Colleen Wolf story. And by the way, the other story, the Cardinals had to pay their ex-vice president, Terry McDonough, $3 million for defamation. Apparently, they issued a statement that said that he had beat his wife, that he had a domestic violence issue, and that he abandoned his special needs daughter. He was an adult. But apparently, neither of those things took place. Apparently, his ex-father-in-law had written a letter to the team that they had in his personal file, and it wasn't accurate. And so he won $3 million off. It's the first time that the owners have lost a – this is what this article says on ESPN, that it's the first time that the owners have lost an arbitration case against an employee. Because, well, you know, NFL owners, it's really a dictatorship over there. NFL owners are – I mean – it's great to be an NFL owner because you just
this. Your contract's coming up in June, you fool. Colleen, what was Kyle Brandt? What were you watching, by the way?
What do you mean, what was I watching?
What were you watching about NFL owners or whatever? There was a Kyle Brandt.
No. Oh, I was watching.
What was he talking about?
He was talking about the Colleen Wolf story.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Colleen Wolf story, she was on Around the League or Around the
NFL podcast.
Around the NFL podcast. It's with. The guys are great guys, Dan Hansis and Greg Rosenthal and the guys. And so she was on there. She was just talking. It's just a podcast. You don't think anything about it, right? Yeah, just a podcast. And she's talking about a story she heard where Woody Johnson was getting into it at the owners' meetings with Robert Saleh. And they had a heated exchange and blah, blah, blah. And she's telling it, and she's telling the story, and she goes into it multiple times. This is another person who was there who was – you know, said it got very contentious. And she was saying this on there. Woody Johnson said, what a surprise. Another lie by the NFL Network or another more poor reporting by the NFL Network. Blah, blah, blah.
Irresponsible. Colleen, is that what he might have used the term irresponsible?
Yeah, irresponsible. And he said, now, Colleen is somebody who has, by the way, her contract's up this summer. So these are scary things to do because it's the owners who own this. And, they fund it, I guess. And so, although it feels like there should just be whatever is part of Roger Goodell's, like it feels like the NFL should get a certain amount. Well, I don't know. I don't know how it works. But anyway, Colleen had to come out and I heard information wrong. It's my fault. I should have never said that. And I talked to somebody else at the network who loves Colleen and said, you know what? Whatever happens at the owners' meetings, that's off limits. You don't talk about what you see. Because I never really thought of it because I was just thinking, okay, I bet what Colleen saw or what she heard about was 100% accurate. And I still think it probably was. But this person made a very good point. They said, there's certain things as a reporter that you can't, like, this is off limits.
Yeah.
If that happened, you have it for your own background, but you don't talk about it on a podcast. Because what she probably thought is, because here's what happens. You could do something on NFL Network TV, and it might go under the radar. You do it on a podcast, and it's there for a lot of people to see, a lot of people to rewind, listen to again, say, hey, you got to hear this. Apparently, and you don't think something about an owner and a head coach in New York is going to become a thing? So I understood, like, while Colleen may have been telling, you know, whoever her source was may have been telling the truth, it really is a pretty good point that you have to let certain things just have to stay quiet.
And here's what she said in her apology. Regarding my comments surrounding the Jets on the Around the NFL podcast, no, I was not at the annual meeting. And yes, I was told of the exchange between head coach Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson by someone in attendance. Others on site Sunday night have since reached out and described the interaction differently. My intent wasn't to break news. I leave that to the insiders, so on and so forth. I apologize to the Jets, whatever. So she has not retracted. She just said, hey, someone else, so other people said it went differently. But she just said, sorry for the distraction, Jets. Go about your offseason.
Yeah, that's tough. And you know what? She did break a rule.
You've gotten in trouble for saying stuff that you heard. I've gotten in trouble for it before.
Yep.
It happens to all of us that you hear something.
It wasn't inaccurate either.
No.
It was accurate. It just...
Exactly.
You just got in trouble for telling it.
Yeah, you got in trouble for telling or... Yeah. It's...
Yeah.
It's a difference of opinion on whether or not it should be public. And it doesn't matter because if the people telling you that say it's not... Well, what Colleen had was, that's just journalistically, you gotta know... This isn't worth it.
Yeah. Mine wasn't inaccurate either. I still haven't. Jim Crane was none too pleased with me for a report that I had, but I stand behind it, but he didn't feel like it was. First of all, it was funny because I got a tweet from a head coach that said, why did you just do that? What's the point of doing what you
when
just
you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When I did it. He said, what's the point of doing
can
that?
Can you bring up to me? Do you want to bring up what it was or no?
No.
I know what it was.
Yeah,
I don't know if you
it just that. It just is, you know, what was the point of that? And I said, well, it's just it's true. It happened, and you know what? You know, it just it didn't it wasn't. Maybe he's right. Maybe it wasn't necessary, and maybe it was. Actually, I've told him. I told him. I said, I think you were right in the decision that you made, but I'm not. I'm going to stand behind what I said. But I think you were right in what you did. So. It was probably unnecessary, and what Colleen did was probably unnecessary. Might have been accurate, but what she did was unnecessary, right? So
certain things, not everything has to be told to the public.
Exactly. Let's get Peach.
And by the way, these things happen a lot, and you don't need to know how the sausage is made.
Right.
Sometimes there's yelling and screaming. It would be a huge controversy, but coaches yelling, screaming at each other behind closed doors. You may have owners, you know, get into it with coaches. This is part of, you have coaches and players. You know, I question whether or not I should have said this, but a long time ago when I had the Chronicle blog, Antonio Smith from the Texans was a rookie, not a rookie, I'm sorry. He was the free agent signing by the Texans. It's kind of a big deal. And he was there with Bill Kolar. Bill Kolar was a defensive line coach. And it was the first open practice to the fans. And I'm out there. Now, we used to be able to go a lot closer to the action. The media did. And actually, the fans were around there too. And there were some fans, and I was on the little track area, and I'm watching defensive line, and Antonio Smith and Bill Kolar start getting into it, and Smith is cussing them out, and I wrote about it. I'm like, this is just terrible. When you have fan day and you are MFing your coach and you're a brand new free agent and this is terrible, you shouldn't do this and that. And then I started thinking, I don't know if I should have, like, because there was the general fan base was out there too, you know, I'm not sure I should have said that or if I was right for saying that the player who just came over, a free agent, was cussing out the D-line coach, because that felt like something that, like, you don't do that. But maybe that's something I shouldn't have said in the blog and reported that, because there was a lot of people back then that used to read Chronicle blogs and you know, it became a little bit of a story behind the scenes with Texans fans, but maybe that's something I should have kept to myself too.
Yep.
I don't know, because those things happen in practices too. And it's just, he and Kolar got along after that. It's just, you know, grown men get into it sometime.
Yep. Let's get PJ in here. Hey, PJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, John, I thought you were dark meat. What are you talking about a win for Whitey for?
No, well, I'm not happy about it.
You were rooting for Iowa.
No, I'm not happy that Whitey got the
but
win.
But you were rooting.
Listen, we've been dominating Whitey, okay? So
I don't want
who's
this
we?
Who's we? Don't rub your forearm. You started yesterday by saying you were rooting for Caitlin.
I was
your
rooting
ties
for Caitlin.
So you're
it's
rooting for Whitey.
It's about time Whitey got a win around here.
You just flip-flopped in the same minute. What are you talking about? You just said You just were unhappy. Now you're happy about it.
Who guarded her most of the game?
Listen, Whitey.
Well,
that's a problem.
So was it a win, John?
It wasn't really.
And the blonde-haired girl, too.
Well, you one step forward, two steps back. Van Lith really, really did Whitey on in last night.
So what side are you on again? Stop rubbing your forearm. So your words say you're happy, but
do you pick a team?
Pick a
side. How about
side
a team
already?
That actually is you're not picking their skin color, their how about a jersey color? You used to be an LSU fan.
Listen, it is a bad night for Juju, bad night for Angel, bad night for me. Bad night for us.
You're flip flopping.
Bad night for the cause.
What cause?
PJ, see what you started.
What caused it?
Nice
it's TJ.
See what you started. Right. PJ?
This is TJ.
I'm going to talk about what I really called for. I'll get you guys started about it. As a side note, the Houston Astros have 6 no-hitters since 2019, including the postseason. No other team has more than 2 in that span. Do the Astros scout and pitching coaches get enough credit, or is it more on the players? I'll hang up and let you guys talk about that.
You know, I don't know about the credit. I think no hitter is just. I don't know. I don't put as much stock into no. I mean, it's a dominant night. But you know, if the next night you gave up 5 in 3 innings, then I don't know. Do they not get enough? They're pretty damn good. I know Strami got all kinds of credit. And he was absolutely a part of all that. And these guys are pretty damn good. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the whole credit thing. And is Yiner getting too much credit because he called a no-hit? I don't know.
People who want to make it a Yiner thing, but the guy making the pitches is who gets the credit.
And he had a dominant night. I've always been, no-hitters are great, but it's just that you were just great that night. I don't know that that's a career.
No, it's not. Mike Fiers has a no-hitter.
Yeah, right.
It used to be only the greatest pitchers, usually.
No,
now it's really turned into, but 6 no-hitters. Can we name the 6 no-hitters since 19?
Verlander, Fiers. Oh, no, Fiers wasn't 19.
On there. Verlander, you had the World Series no-hitter.
When was the 6 in 19? No, that was well before
that.
That
was a long time ago, but you had another one. You've had more than, Fromber's not been part of one. Javier's been part of one.
Yeah.
Verlander 2 or 1? Verlander's 2, right?
Verlander's 1 in Toronto.
That was the only one?
That was the only one, I think.
How are we forgetting if there's 6 since 2019?
I don't know. That was my first I've ever seen live. First time I've seen
a no-hitter. I've never seen a no-hitter live.
You got to talk about
QC. And what view you had?
I did. I had a nice view. You saw it.
I'll talk about QC Kinetics. Wanted to talk about a nice view. How about some of you would say, man, I'd love to go to a baseball game, but I can't park far away and make that walk. I can't even think about walking, you know, 3/4 of a mile somewhere. I can't go to football games and park way away and have to walk because my knee or my hip. Do you know that? I know that your thought is you're going to have to get a surgery at some point, but did you know how many people benefit from regenerative medicine? Regenerative medicine, what it does is it takes the body's healing power, they concentrate it, they put it back into the joint, and all this inflammation starts to leave because it regenerates and restores damaged tissue. Your inflammation goes down and your mobility goes up. And before you know it, you're not living with that chronic pain anymore in your hips, in your back, in your shoulders, wherever you're in your knee, wherever your chronic pain is, you start to see a big difference. And I know it happened with my wife when she was preparing to run a marathon. I know it's going to happen for a lot of you where you get better. I've heard from people who have gone to QC Kinetics, and it's been a life-changing experience in terms of reducing that chronic pain. You don't have to just get steroid shots and surgeries and have all the downtime and the drugs you have to use to manage pain. There is a better way, and it's QC Kinetics. 4 locations near you here in the Houston area, QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You screwed it up. We had a great guest, and Lance screwed it up by not remembering. By the way,
yesterday I got all hyped up, and I'm like, oh, well, no, it wasn't on me. I texted Dell we needed to do it. He didn't say it either.
When did you text me?
I texted John and Dell.
When?
In the group text.
When did you do it?
On Sunday or Saturday.
Let's see. There's accounting for it, because if you texted before the weekend, you can't blame either one of us.
I did.
Fromber did have one just last year. Yeah. I don't remember these things. I have no idea.
You texted us.
Yeah. On Sunday, said that Craig Ackerman was going to be with us at 8:30 on Monday.
I did on Friday.
And I told you that.
He did it on Friday.
I did on Friday. Craig Ackerman, Monday at 8:30.
You can't text before the weekend.
Yeah. Well, the producer should have known that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't even looking at it. I don't respond to his text after work
you
on a Friday.
You need to look at this. This is a work-related issue. I texted both of you, morons.
Not on a Friday after work.
You guys are a couple of bozos.
Not on a Friday after work.
I can't remember anything. You guys are bozos.
Why would you do that on a Friday, the Friday before the
week? I can't remember that Fromber threw a no-hitter last year. This is on you.
I know you don't have a very busy life.
This is on you.
Ever since he had his own show, here we go.
Would remember that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But
with
Dell, now that he has his show, I don't know anything. You texted it too early.
Probably going to have Craig Ackerman on his show now.
Nah.
I mean, I'm waiting to see if he answers the text.
He's not answering, is he?
Texted a Friday at like 2 p.m. Who's going to remember that?
Just put it in your calendar, wherever your producing calendar is.
I got other things in my calendar.
Yeah, see, that's what other producers have that.
No, it's the neighbor. I got her pinned in throughout the weekend.
The big news yesterday was Astros no-hitter Ronel Blanco. It was about getting a win for Joe Espada, which was nice. And it was about an explosion of runs. I know we're talking Yiner's two home runs, but what about Kyle Tucker's two home runs? What about that?
Big night for Whitey.
Let's hear.
I gotta know what.
Thank you.
Your black church story. Thank you,
black
Nick, for reminding
story.
Us.
Thank you, Nick. You hit us with that yesterday.
At the end of the show
at 8:57. It reminds me of the black church I went to yesterday. Like, what?
Oh, Nick hung up. Oh,
black church
on
Easter?
Tell it anyway.
He just wanted to remind us. Okay.
What?
Just tell us. Just tell us the black church.
Hold on. The first question is, how did you end up at the black church?
Okay, Dell will interview you.
Come on. How did that work out?
Okay, Your Honor. I just went and I looked at Google.
You're not a
churches, Catholic churches near me.
And you somehow found the black
church?
A Catholic church?
We were.
You don't have a permanent church you go to anymore?
In Austin?
Oh, you're in Austin.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so that's part of the story.
Yeah. You're in Austin.
I was in Austin. And, yeah, I found a church. So we went, and there were a couple of white people walking in with us.
And you're like, this is fine.
No, I didn't say this is fine. I just
we'll be okay
I
here.
Did notice.
You guys, like,
and then we opened
are you
the door,
Caitlin Clark fans? Did you ask them that?
Us and that couple were the only white people there. And it was, and then.
So you went to a black church by accident. Now, that's, is this starting to make sense?
Of course. It makes more sense.
And, no, I would have gone regardless. It was the closest Catholic church.
Do you Google?
I didn't Google white Catholic
of
church.
Of course not. But do you randomly show up at a black church in town? No, you have a permanent church. So you're out of town.
I actually don't go to Catholic church anymore. Okay. But the one that I did go to was the closest one to my house was a white Catholic church.
He figured it was safe to say Catholic church.
Listen, yeah, I wouldn't know. The Catholic churches that I go to here.
You're being a hostile witness. Beyond walking in and looking at the demographics and going, oh, this is different.
What did you say to Wendy?
When did you initially realize?
I didn't say anything to Wendy. We just sat down.
Did you give each other a look?
No, we didn't.
Did you say, man.
No, but when I sat down.
Sure, a lot of LSU women's basketball fans in here and not as many Caitlin Clark fans. Did you speak in code like that?
No, I actually knelt down and to say the prayer before church started.
And what did you pray for?
The cross, and I said, well, he looks that Jesus looks different than the one.
Then so, my Jesus, say my Jesus.
On
say it.
San Felipe.
So that's when you realize you're in for a different experience.
Yes.
No, he knew when he walked in.
No, yeah, we did. Yeah, you know, it was.
Yeah,
but when
course.
You knelt down to pray, you looked up and what did you see?
I saw black Jesus on the cross.
How many black Jesuses were visible?
Three.
or
four. Did they get progressive?
Well, behind the altar, there was, I'm not sure who they all were.
Did they have?
But they were, it was a depiction of black, and one of them, I would imagine, was Jesus. And
Peter, Paul, the disciples,
yeah,
black?
Yeah, maybe.
Were the disciples black?
I guess.
Was Mary black?
I don't know. I don't remember that, no.
Did they have the Stations of the Cross with all black Jesus on Stations of the Cross?
It was just stained glass.
How long was the black? Now, I've heard, I've never been to a black church. I've always wanted to go. But I've heard that it is, except for this,
yeah.
I've heard that it is a long.
There was a lot of this going on. Yeah. And some of the, and a lot of
the
regular prayers that you do,
yeah.
There was singing as opposed to just the regular prayers.
Was there. So there was a lot of, there was more singing. There was more, you got into it. Well, there was more seasoning than the singing.
There was. It was, yes. And it was, yes. It was a lot more rhythmic.
Yep.
Yes.
Was there instruments played?
Yes, there was an organ, and he led. There was a sermon that was a lot longer than usual.
Did the,
that's what's keeping
me
out.
Did the minister go, wow? Did he ever do that at any point?
He never did that.
Wait, do what now?
You got to go to a black church to understand. Because there are times at a black church when you know it's about to go down. Yeah. And the minister will start elongating his words and dragging out things because he's feeling it. Quote, unquote, the Holy Spirit is inside of him. I don't know if that's the thing at Catholic Church. It's the Holy Spirit inside you. Do you guys have that?
I didn't get that. I did get some amens.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Amens. Amen, brother.
Did you get a black church dinner? Or do they not do that in the Catholic Church?
Well, here's the deal.
This is Easter now.
It was an hour and a half in, and we'd already gone to communion. And I thought, you know, at normal church, well, the normal church I'm used to, after it's, you know, everybody sit down, stand up, maybe there's a couple of announcements of what's going on in the church that week. Well, there was a lot more than that.
Yeah.
A lot more than that. And we were then it was, okay, who's new to this church? And all the white people stood up. Who's
were
the
they
first
all,
time
you've
been
they all
you
visiting?
Had to.
Yes.
Were they all
we to. Did. We stood up.
You
were they
you
all
had
visiting?
To.
Because they asked, okay, who's the first timer here? So we stood up, and most all the white people did. And
did you hear people do this?
No, I didn't hear that. I did. They did come around, and they gave us paraphernalia for the church, and we want you to come back. And this is you if you live in this.
Paraphernalia for the church.
Yeah.
Oh, like pamphlets. Oh,
and, yeah.
I thought you got like a hat. I thought you got swag.
No, that's memorabilia.
No. And then we sat back down, and then there was more talking.
Yeah.
And then there was an introduction of, here comes sister. She's going to come up now and talk. And then we said, okay,
that's
our exit. This is our time to leave.
Did you make it noticeable that you left? Did people
notice
you walking out?
We were the only ones that stood up and walked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
The disrespect.
Yeah. Mm. No, it was time. It was time.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Against sister, but I already did mine.
Sister came up and was about to speak, and you walked out?
Yeah.
You walked out when a black woman was about
to
speak?
She had a long walk from where she was sitting, so I don't know if she noticed us.
Mm,
yeah.
That's disrespectful.
No, that's not.
Did you leave and say, I got to go home and get ready for Caitlin Clark?
Did not.
Did you say that?
I said for Angel Reese.
Oh.
No, they didn't.
Smart. Angel Reese is coming on. And I don't think this mass is ending before then.
Well, look at what somebody said. At least with John there, communion wasn't the only cracker there. Astroag.
Time to talk about tequila. Okay. Okay. Bring in that wine.
Maestro Bell. No, that's not in the communion you don't have. Now, it'd be a smooth sip, I got to tell you. But let me talk about the silver. The silver is what I would call their standard tequila, but it's so much more than whatever you're thinking. I know a lot of your tequilas you use, like this is what we use for our margaritas, and I have a shot of this whenever I want a pregame, and it's that tequila burn that you get. Do you know if you have the tequila burn, you're drinking a cheap tequila? You're drinking a tequila that's not distilled properly. If you are drinking a Maestro Nobel, you're not going to have that if you do a shot. But then again, Maestro Nobel is a really nice tequila. You don't want to just sit around doing shots with it. You can if you want. It's your bottle. You're the one buying it. It's your bottle. But it's great for margaritas. It's great for cocktails. It's just Maestro Nobel is great for any time. And they want to make sure that you understand they are going to give you a bottle that has a lot of love put into it. And the difference is something that you can taste right away. Right away with slightly sweeter finish, but there's a variety of tequilas to choose from. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find a bottle of Maestro Nobel. Buy it, take a picture of it, send it to me, and let me know how you like it. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, this Alperen Şengün thing, it got out of hand a little bit. Over the weekend, who was it that was talking about... that the Rockets are going to make a trade?
Probably Dell.
It was Dell, I'm sure.
Over the weekend I did this?
On the... Oh, Tim Bontemps?
Yeah, from ESPN.
Yeah. He said, they've got to be careful. Let's get an impact player and become the 7th seed or 6th seed or 5th seed and end up 12th. It is...
There is a belief that
there is going to be
still...
a big trade, and one of them, Alpi or Jalen Green, is going to be...
It won't be Alpi. It's not going to be. I mean, it's so much easier to find an explosive wing than a well-rounded post who can do... Like, it's hard to find the Alperen Şengüns. Let's be real. It's not the hardest thing to find an explosive scorer too.
Tim McMahon said this. There are questions about how much Jalen Green taken off... is about the floor opening up because everything is not running through Alperen Şengün. Let me be very clear. Those questions hearing from other teams, I'm not hearing those internally from the Rockets, apparently.
I don't think you will.
I don't think you will either.
But the thing is, the Rockets, one of the things that makes the Rockets, I mean, the Rockets have beaten the Nuggets, what, three times? There's a reason. Alperen Şengün. Alperen Şengün played whenever they beat the Spurs, not in this last one, but... Let's not get it twisted here.
Yeah.
Alperen Şengün, what you're seeing him do, there's not a lot of guys who can do that. And the guys who do it are considered MVP front runners.
So,
Joel Embiid, right. Jokic, like there's not many guys who can do that. Honestly, he's not a great shooter, Jalen Green. He's an explosive scorer who has not shown a consistency yet for 3 years. There's a lot of things you can like about him. But if you're going to trade one of those, it's way easier to find a Jalen than an Alperen.
Tim McMahon says they're trying to fast forward to phase three. They absolutely want to take a big, big swing at the trade market sooner than later. I don't know if both Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green will be around long term.
No.
If both, correct.
You believe that too, right? I believe that Jalen gets traded this. It's not... Nothing changes for me, whatever happens this year.
Well, look at how it's the league is changing, though, with Jokic... with Embiid, with Şengün, with the final four teams. Uh-huh. Look at the big man. It is different now. And now, I really do believe...
Versatile big man.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do believe the addition, which he's not playing, Steven Adams, is a move in that direction, in that that Alpi is not going to be the big man that's going to be defending night in and night out. Alpi is more than likely going to be the offensive side. And you run through him, even with Steven Adams on the floor. But right now, this team, the way it's playing, last game notwithstanding, it seems like being opened up in the middle,
it would, helps him.
Is almost better
but
for
this
him.
But this is the thing. This is probably not the right scheme for him. With Alperen Şengün. Let's just be honest about it. He's not a catch-and-shoot three-point scorer. He needs that space. He's at his best when he's attacking the rim. Either you can play that level of basketball with Alperen Şengün there, or if you can't, then you probably need to go to, for the betterment of your career, you need to go to another team where they run something that's more exterior-based, and you can do some 1-4 stuff. You can like,
but is the league turning into a center league again?
No. If you have one, it's special, you can do it,
and
but
Joel,
it's not.
The difference between them, the guys you're mentioning, and Alperen Şengün simply hasn't had the opportunity yet, is you can't play Jokic off the floor in the playoffs. You can't play Embiid off the floor. Not only because of their offensive efficiency, but Jokic isn't a defender, Embiid is. But Embiid is a legitimate elite defender. Şengün, we know that there are some limitations there. We don't know what he'll be 3 or 4 years from now on that end.
But he can't get played off the floor. Not realistically.
The question is his offensive efficiency good enough that when he's attacked over and over again in playoff scenarios, will it not matter because he's too good on the other end?
So far, the answer is yes.
We don't know that because they've never been in the conversation.
From an efficiency standpoint, he's very efficient. But sometimes you're just going to have a guy who's a minus defender.
Sure.
Who's a plus-plus offensive player. That's like a tight end that can't block at all. Like, Travis Kelce's not much of a blocker, and in basketball, it's like there have been great scorers. Dominique was not a great defender. Larry Bird was not a great defender. You have guys right now in basketball who are not great defenders, and it doesn't matter because they're that good.
Well, they're MVP candidates, and Şengün, beyond the fact that his team's never been good enough for him to qualify, he's still in that 20-point-per-game range. Embiid's a 30, was scoring more points than he was playing minutes. We know what Jokic is. So
he'll shoot more threes, too.
Well, you have to hope. That's the balance. So, and they're 22 years old, so that's not really a question of now. He's nowhere near his prime, and that's what the Rockets have to project. When he's 25, 26, is he an MVP candidate, and will his defensive limitations be limited enough that it doesn't matter because he's so good, he's such a hub, and that's what they have to balance. So I don't know what decisions can be made. I wouldn't even make a real decision as far as those two are concerned until after the season as far as next season. Until who am I trading?
But the positive is that you could actually sign guys and deal. Like, you'll be able to trade Jalen Green. You don't want to give him a max deal if you don't have to, because that makes it a little bit harder to trade, just matching money. But Jalen Green is a guy that even if you gave him a contract, if he's playing well, him playing well right now is really a big deal because it makes it easier to deal him possibly. So you could see if these guys can play together at a high level. Again, I mean, you've had 2 years to see it. He was in the same draft. You've had 3 years to see it. If you still don't have your answer and you need to go into a fourth year, I guess, then you could do that and still deal Jalen, but you're not going to.
Allegedly, the organization had Jalen out on the trade block for Bridges, right? Allegedly, that's what was said. This will make it much easier.
Well, Shams said it too. So,
well, and then you mentioned Tim McMahon. He pushed back on that a little bit, at least from the Rockets side. He was talking to Zach Lowe about that particular. He didn't mention Shams by name, but the reporting, and said that the Rockets asked the Nets about Mikal Bridges, but the Nets were so forthright and like upfront about, no, we're not making any trades, that they didn't even get the players. That's what the Rockets are saying, because, of course, they don't want it out there that they're trying to trade.
No, they don't want Jalen to think that he was on the trade block. Yeah. Absolutely. Especially the way he's playing now. All right, 9 o'clock, 713-780-3776. Ryan wants to talk about the Astros. Anybody else wants to get in? How about that no-hitter? Let's go. HRMP is what we're talking about right now. HRMP is where you go and get your you get your payroll on, okay? You don't know about payroll. I've been saying this. I mean, if you've got a company that's growing and all of a sudden now, you know, the payroll needs are getting out of control right now. It's said that your payroll department can't handle it, or you're starting to add new people into your payroll department. I mean, I don't know what our number of employees is here, but it grew to 75 in that neighborhood, and we never had more than one person in there, Laura. And here's why, is because HRMP takes care of all of that for you. HRMP is going to save you money with the scam by these admin companies is that, oh, no, that company charges you more than payroll than we do. Yeah, but then they make up for it with ridiculous 401k plans that they're making money off of, or insurance that they're making all money off of. And HRMP is not doing that. HRMP is delivering your HR, and they're delivering your payroll, and they're not in that business. What they do is they offer you, they're going to help you out with that 401k, and they're going to offer you suggestions, but they don't make money off of that. That's not their business. Their business is payroll, and they do it perfectly every time for us. They'll do it perfectly every time for you, HR as well, and your taxes. Man, they're good. They're really, really good. So you need HRMP, and if you do, and if you're not completely satisfied with the payroll company you have, or if your payroll company is just growing too much and it's getting too expensive, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN
97.5.